The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 72 of the Hawks Talk Podcast and all things Atlanta Hawks podcast, hosted by two lifelong Hawks fans. As always, I am Jackson, joined today by my co-host, Logan. And we are back, people. The preseason is over. We're looking forward to the regular season. But before we dive into a bunch of stuff that's going on in the Hawks world, Logan, how are you doing? It's been a minute.
But you know what? The season starts in, I guess, in less than 70 hours. No, it'll be like 68 hours or something. The Hawks will play an actual meaningful game. So, all right, the Hawks Talks sabbatical is over, folks. It's over. It's done.
We were in preseason mode. All right, I will say, I think Nate McMillan was like, "Yo, our last preseason game is going to be like a dress rehearsal for the for the regular season." I can confirm. I did watch all four quarters. Baby steps, people. But I mean, we're back. We're back at it again. Hawks Talks, as always. I guess we should. The biggest news is that what we should talk about first, Logan.
I mean, Kevin Huerter watch is over. It's over.
Yeah, he does. Are we calling him Kevin or are we calling him Kayvon still? Where are we at with this, people? I don't feel like did the Kayvon thing expire after game 7 or what?
I mean, I'm calling him Kevin. I'm not calling him Kayvon. That feels wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we gotta keep up the professional look of Hawks Talks as always. So, yeah, the Hawks did agree to an extension with Kevin Huerter. I believe it is 4 years, $64 million, which is actually kind of fun. 65. So, all right, see, I was one mil off.
Real Hawks Talks fans know. At this point, almost a year ago, I guess it was 9 months ago or so. We're talking about the scenario and Kevin Huerter's contract, and I believe I said a name. I was like, you know what? If Luke Kennard gets $64 million, then I have to think Huerter gets that type of contract, if not a little more. And what happens? He gets the exact same contract with $1 million extra. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm not trying to gloat, but I mean, put that one on the board, man. That's another classic Logan prediction coming true. Putting it on the board. That's one for the Hawks.
I would like to say I saw the contract terms. First thing I did, I was like, "Oh yeah, we signed Kevin Huerter." Said that in the chats I'm in. Immediately went and ran to see the Luke Kennard contract. I was like, "He got me. He got me.
He boomed me. He's so good." Yeah, man.
I'm adding you to the list of podcasters I want to podcast with this summer.
Exactly. I mean, look, Luke Kennard comparisons aside, that's a pretty good contract. I don't think what's weird is I feel like, I mean, look, I'm not going to act like I'm all in tune with all of Hawks Twitter. I feel like I didn't see that much about it. I feel like there was a lot less of a reaction than I expected. But I would have to imagine, regardless, nobody's really upset with this contract. I can't imagine. There's no reason to dislike this contract unless you're like stuck in 2007 and you, or like 2010 and you think that like depth players get $4 million a year or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing to really dislike with this contract.
I honestly thought like the more time that went by, I was thinking like the contract was going to be closer to like $80 million. So, am I alone in thinking like this contract's a complete steal? Like, maybe my contract expectations for Huerter were just way too high. Maybe I've just been like, just been like completely off base with what I thought was going to happen, which is honestly completely possible. I saw like the $65 million figure. I was like, oh my gosh, I thought we were paying like at least $80 million. And then the weird thing was, is that like obviously like people were less in tune with the Hawks. Were like, is $65 million an overpay for Kevin Herter? And I'm over here like, dog, I thought we were going to pay him $80 million or something. Like,
for,
I
don't, like
maybe I was just way off of my expectations.
For reference, that's like $10 million less per year than John Collins. That's like $5 million less a year than Gallinari. That's like what Evan Turner signed back in 2014, or what was it, 2016? It's like what Evan Turner signed back then. So I mean, it's a good contract, man. I'm a little surprised Kevin Herter and his side took it, not gonna lie. Frankly, I thought if Kevin Herter went to a restricted free agency, he could probably have gotten an absolutely massive, bordering on like poison pill type contract from another team that wanted, you know, to pay him 20 something a year and promise him a starting spot. But they clearly met, like, both sides are able to get to a good number, and Kevin clearly likes it here. He knows he's got it pretty good here. He knows he can, frankly, he's going to get consistent minutes as long as he's healthy. He's just too good of a player not to. Like, he's getting 28, 30 minutes, and he showed in the playoffs that he's a very valuable wing that can actually play defense, which still kind of shocks me a little bit that he was playing defense. But yeah, I mean, it's a good day. It's a good day.
Look, after the whole game seven, we kind of had to extend Kevin. Come on now. Look, I don't mean to, like, you know, I feel bad for saying this. I feel like the statue should have been, you know, started to have been designed after that game seven. Phenomenal game seven. Now, here's actually something interesting. Kevin Herter's average annual value is 16.25. All right, listen, here's guys that are going to be paid more than him. You ready, Logan? And these are guys that, like, I would take over him. The next guys in front of him are Lauri Markkanen. I'm taking Herter over Lauri, like, without a doubt.
Wait.
Like, yeah.
What?
I would like to say that speaks more volumes of Lauri Markkanen being overpaid than us just getting a still on Kevin Herter, even though I think we did. But, like, Lauri Markkanen is severely overpaid. He's getting paid $16.8 million, Logan, every year.
What did he say? I was going to say, I think I might have said this on a previous podcast. Like, Lauri Markkanen just showed up in Cleveland, and I was like, wait, when the hell did he sign with Cleveland?
Well, he's getting paid 16.8 racks a year to show up in Cleveland, so good for him. Keep getting those checks.
How many years?
I mean, till 20. I mean, 4 years, 2021 to 2024 as a free agent.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's zero things that Lauri Markkanen does better than Kevin Herter.
Yeah, no, that's that was actually kind of insane. Also, guys in front of him that are just, like, comparable to Kevin are, like, Gary Trent Jr., you have Caris LeVert, Eric Bledsoe, Derek White, that's actually a good Hawks Talk meme, Duncan Robinson, Spencer Dinwiddie, and then you have Bogdan Bogdanovic, OG Anunoby, and then Clint Capella. I just want to say those few because, you know, Hawks, but yeah. Also, you have Tim Hardaway making 18.75, all props to Tim Hardaway, you know, not a Hawks legend exactly, but a Hawks alumnus. I've kind of wanted to cool down using the term Hawks legend for players like that. It feels disrespectful to actual Hawks legends, but like Tim Hardaway, he's not $2 million better than Kevin Herter. Like, I don't think he is at all. Maybe I'm missing
something. I mean, they're very similar. I think
they're similar,
like,
players.
Tim Hardaway, like, he's going to score more when he gets hot. You know what I mean? I think Tim Hardaway just has no filter. Like, he cares less. He's less insecure than Kevin. He's more irrationally confident. So he'll pop off like 35 in a game, whereas Kevin Herter, I think...
Every time we play against Lauri Markkanen, he's bound to do that.
You mean Tim Hardaway. But yeah. That's extremely true.
No, Lauri Markkanen pops off against no one. Sorry. Excuse me. I had to think back to what I said. I was like, yeah, no, that guy's been awful since his rookie year. Excuse me.
He really has been. It's...
No, but seriously, good for Kevin, good for the Hawks. I think all around we can chalk this up as a win for the Hawks. I mean, anybody who's seriously watched the Hawks, I mean, you see Kevin's upside, you see his age and all that. Another thing being underrated with Kevin is, like, people forget he's only missed, like, 40 NBA games in his entire career, and that's spanning over 3 years now. And, like, that's very impressive. Like, and last year he played, what, like, 75-plus, I'm pretty sure? Don't quote me on that figure. I'm pretty sure he played a lot of games last year. So, like, the durability for Kevin, like, that's something that you can't really say about, like, Bogey. Because, like, Bogey, I mean, he obviously got hurt. He had the knee thing in the regular season and then had the knee thing in the postseason. Like, Gallo was hurt. I mean, so really this offseason, we secure, like, our most durable and, like, non-injured players in John and Kevin. Because, like, John's, like, a staple. Like, John's really never been hurt. Kevin's never really been hurt. I'm going to knock on wood. I actually feel like
I'm you're just throwing around a lot of shit. Yeah. Hold on. You're going to regret right now.
No. We're knocking on wood. We're good. We're good, people. Frankly. So, I don't know. But I do like the contract. I mean, it's good. I thought it was going to be close to 80 mil. So, maybe I was just way off base. Maybe I'm washed, man.
No, I mean, straight up, I don't really see why Kevin... Again, I thought Kevin Herter would have gotten probably 20 plus if he waited a year. But... I'm sure, you know, this stuff is all, but I'm not going to act like I'm an agent. I'm not going to act like I know a thing about what's going on in those negotiations, but I guess they didn't want to risk the chance that, you know, hey, Kevin Herter's not starting, you know, who knows, maybe that bumps him down and maybe teams only see him as like a 12 mil, you know, a Landry Shamet type guy, which he also signed a contract today, which I guess we'll talk about the other contracts later, but yeah, I think it's a good deal, especially for the Hawks. I think it's pretty good for Kevin Herter. I mean, look, man, he he went from, you know, he finished his college season 2018. I think he was, what, a sophomore or a junior? And they were like, you know what, you should try entering the draft. I think you have a pretty good position. The Hawks take him at 19. I'm not sure. I wasn't super in tune with the draft. I don't know if that was considered a small reach. I know he was considered a sort of late first type guy. So they go for their guy at 19 there, and a couple years later he has a legendary game 7 under his belt, and he's gonna be making $65 million by the time he's like 27, 28. So not a bad way to, you know, start off your career. And it's crazy because, I mean, frankly, he's a scrawny, pale, redheaded guy playing basketball. So it objectively, it's just a little funny. Like, it's just a little bit funny.
I mean, yeah, no, great for Kevin, great contract for the Hawks. I mean, glad to keep Kevin a part of the core. I feel like you always hear about, like, how the Hawks are going to trade half with their core, and then you realize this offseason, this is an actual figure, Logan. The Hawks paid out $405 million in extensions after today. Kind of crazy. So, like, for a team who's constantly in, like, Bleacher Report trade articles where, like, we're trading away half of our young core, like, we're trading away, like, half of our team in general, like... You don't like you see him making all these extensions, and you're like, wait, why are we in these Bleacher Report articles? Like, why are we the team that's traded for Pascal Siakam this week? Like, I don't know. That stuff's crazy to me. I saw a trade. It was like from Bleacher Report. I'll go look at it right now for you. Absolutely, like, insane trade. Like, I'm not even being a homer on this one. The trade was the Hawks get Pascal Siakam alone. You okay over there, bud? Watching Monday Night Football? Anyways, the Hawks get Pascal Siakam. And the Raptors get 2 first-round picks, Jalen Johnson, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, DeLon Wright, and Okongwu. Like, what are you... Like, dude, what? You might as well just take away half our roster at what? That point. Like, jeez.
Yeah, that's obscene. Which, I mean, kind of related to that. You know, if... That's a very tradable contract. That's all I'll say. You know, speaking of just sort of pivoting into trades a little bit... another good thing about the contract in the NBA, you always got to value movability of contracts, and Kevin Herter's contract is very movable. But no, yeah, those trade articles are always pretty stupid, man. I'm sorry, Travis Schlenk just does not have a track record of giving up a bunch of assets for anything. And frankly, I trust him enough to know that when he does push his chips in a little bit, he's not going to get, you know, bent over and spanked by some other poser GM. Like, I'm sorry, Masai Ujiri, he's not gonna hold Travis Schlenk in the trade negotiation. It's just not gonna happen. So, you know, Bleacher Report can keep getting their clickbait, though, I guess, because Lord knows Hawks
seven
fans,
player deals
Lord knows
one
Hawks
player.
Fans eat up that crap, man. They really do. They give every Bleacher Report article too much attention in my eyes, but.
I mean, that one deserves some hate, though. Literally, like, five players and 2 first-round draft picks for Pascal Siakam. Like, dude, he's not even – we're not even 2 years removed from – remember the Beyblade memes? They're still going on, but, like, remember in the bubble when everybody was just calling Pascal Siakam a Beyblade because his go-to move is the spin move and it almost never works? Oh, my gosh. No. Awful trade. But, yeah. No, excited to keep another member of the core. Other rookie deals that were agreed to today – anyone that any of them surprised you, Logan?
Yeah, I guess just wrapping up on Kevin Herter. It's just exciting, you know. I saw somebody say this like jokingly, but like we're gonna be able to watch this current Hawks core for a long time if that's the route that Travis Schlenk and Nate McMillan choose to go down. Like pretty much everyone that's important is locked up for at least two more years, right? Like this year, obviously, and the next year, the only person that would be expiring, I mean, I can't even think of it. I mean, obviously, like Lou and DeLon, but like Gallo could stay another year if he wanted. All the young guys are locked up for several more years. Although this time next year, I suppose we might be having discussions about Hunter and Reddish and their extensions. But yeah, it's crazy. We really could be watching this core for a very long time. But the other extensions today, because of course today at 6 p.m. was a deadline, and the Kevin Huerter contract got announced at like 5:45 Eastern time, so not a lot of time to spare. I mean, I think the biggest story is probably the DeAndre Ayton stuff, right? I'm not sure if I'm surprised, but
oh yeah, no, that's by far the biggest story that didn't end up with a contract being signed at all.
And he is, quote, not happy with the Suns, which, wow, he didn't get the, you know, $150 million he wanted. I also would not be happy.
On one hand, I'm like, yeah, I feel bad. Well, actually, this is another fun thing, Logan. This might blow your mind. I don't know if you saw this tweet. It was like, DeAndre Ayton's the first number one overall draft pick in the last 20 years, other than one man to not get a rookie contract extension. You don't know who that man is, Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett.
Yeah. That's real bad. I don't know. Ayton stuff is weird, man, because, like, on one hand, like, phenomenal playoff run. Like, did a really – I mean, he did a damn good job of guarding Jokic in the Western Conference semifinals. And then in the Western Conference conference finals, like, we kind of saw that, like, he had that game winner. You remember what was it? Like, the alley-oop heard in the valley or something? I forget what Suns fans call it. But, like, that was, like, a great play. It was a game-winning alley-oop. Come on now. But then, like, Nick Batum also had moments where he was low-key exposing Ayton. Like, Ayton was, like, kind of getting ran off the court a few times by Nick Batum. So, I don't know. Like, on one hand, I get the Suns' hesitance towards, like, I mean, like, yeah, let's not extend Ayton. Like, whenever you're paying centers big money, I feel like all NBA teams know this by now. Whenever you start, like, handing out the big money to like, centers who aren't, like, guys like Kat or Embiid, who just, like, can actually, like, create their own shot and get their own buckets.
There's, like, three, arguably four centers. I might be forgetting one, which would be embarrassing. But three or four that deserve the big max contracts. It's those guys you listed, Jokic. And you could argue maybe Gobert. But Gobert, on his current contract, is overpaid. And besides that, man, why does DeAndre Ayton deserve Trae Young money? Why does DeAndre Ayton deserve Luka Doncic money? He doesn't. He doesn't deserve Shai Gilgeous-Alexander money. He's a good player, but he's a young Clint Capella with some small amount of post moves and a mid-range, kind of. Like, he's got great potential, but he's not particularly special right now. Like, I don't – look, I'm a – you know, good on the Suns for standing up for themselves. They're going to kind of get themselves into – you know, they're going to be in some murky waters for next year. But, I mean, good for them, man. They stood up for what they knew was the right thing to do, which is to not max this guy – before he really showed anything that was max worthy.
It's interesting because, like, everybody thinks it's like a foregone conclusion that Ayton's just gonna, like, not be in Phoenix for, like, the long term, but it's like people forget that RFA's a thing, man. Like, it doesn't make sense to me for the Suns to not max him simply because it kind of seems like the Suns are all in. Like, they extended Chris Paul. I mean, they fade Booker, which is the right choice, but, like, that Chris
this
Paul
is their team, man.
This I is mean their yeah team. They also extended Mikal Bridges, so, like, they're all in on this core.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how long guys like Jay Crowder or Dario Saric have, so they might have a sort of revolving door of role players, but that's their core. And it, I mean, again, I just got done talking about how I didn't think Ayton was that special, but they need him. They aren't going to be as good without him. He's a good player.
You can't afford to lose Ayton. He's too talented.
No, and he does admittedly have, like, all NBA level potential. He just, you know, it's. You know, potential. I mean, listen, we're a couple Cam Reddish. You know, we have Cam Reddish. Potential is nice, but until it's actually realized, it's just like good for daydreaming. So, like, I mean, he could be a very special player, but for now, he's just like a pretty good center. Like, he's a top, I don't know, 7 or 8 center. You know, he's good. He's not going out there and he's taking over games consistently.
I don't know. Like, they can't afford to lose Ayton, but I'm excited to see what happens. It'll admittedly be very fun if the Suns, like, have to match, like, a super poison-pilled contract from, like, the Thunder or something. I actually wanted to add on this with the Kevin Huerter stuff. I forgot to say it. honestly, like, we should all be thankful that, like, Herter accepted, like, the $16 million per year. Are we, like, sure that, like, the Thunder or, like, the Spurs or somebody, I'm trying to think of, like, teams that are going to be bad and have cap space. Are we sure those teams just want to be like, okay, yeah, like, it's our time to get some talent on our team just by throwing, like, these absolutely horrible, like, horrible contracts that just, like mess you up for the next few years. Like, the Thunder are in, like, prime position to do that because, like, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
And they have nothing else.
And, like, that... Yeah, they have nothing else. Like, they have no other cap space. Like, that's not a joke. They have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and then they have tons of cap space and tons of draft picks. Like, I wouldn't rule them out, like, had we not extended Herter. Them just being like, Kevin Herter's extended. He fits with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He fits really well with Trey. You know, like, let's just throw him, like for example, let's throw Kevin Herter $90 million. Like, I don't want to put that past the Thunder. Like, and teams are known to do that. Like, we're talking about teams being bad and, like, having bad GMs who do bad stuff. And, you know, we can't relate to it because we're Hawks fans. And then, like, Lauri Markkanen's getting paid $16.8 million, Logan. So you're like, you know what? I'm glad we came to a deal with Kevin Herter because I do not want to be we remember the bogey stuff, like, the Hawks gave him, like, that super, like, toxic offer. Like,
it wasn't insanely toxic, but it was a good little, nice little sprinkling of toxicity.
Schilling did a bit of trolling to the Kings with that one. Just a bit of trolling. I don't want to be on the opposite side of that. Like, I don't want the Thunder and, like, their fans who constantly go, first round draft picks, baby. Just, like, leering over our players on Reddit as they offer them, like, these contract offers that spike up by $30 million every other year. Like, no, don't want any part of that. Look, the Suns can do that with Ayton.
They can do that.
That sounds hilarious.
They can do that with Reddish in 2 years, dog.
Yeah, no, Cam Reddish sweepstakes, those are going to be fun. I'm ready for those. Well, it's not even 2 years. It's next year, isn't it?
Well, next year will be when we do or do not extend him. But, you know, it'll be two years from now when, you know, presumably Hunter or Reddish, one of them, you would have to think would get, you know, some sort of, you would think at least one of them is a restrictive agent. You would not expect to extend both of them, but who knows? We'll see. You never know what happens.
I actually want to ask you, first of all, before I ask you the question, because it's actually pretty interesting, I want to say something. When you were just like, next year we can see if we extend Hunter and Reddish, I was like, you're forgetting Bruno. And then I was like, oh yeah, no, he's bad, was never going to get extended, he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah, he did make the Celtics go.
Oh, congrats to him. Yeah, I'm happy for him. Meanwhile, in Memphis, two former Hawks, Jabari Parker and Chris Dunn, were both waived. Former sixth man declared by me, Chris Dunn, man. I don't know, man. It just, yeah, that fell apart quickly. Good for Bruno, though. I mean, no Will Awards for Bruno on here.
Glad to see him, you know, keep getting paid, man. Good for him.
Keep getting those checks, homie. The first NBA player from Angola. Anyways, the question I had, Logan, I was on Reddit today, scrolling through the Kevin Herter contract thing. You know, people saying positive stuff. You know, some, like, people just going, like, oh, he's overpaid. You got the Twitter kids who kind of leak into Reddit and are like, yo,
ratio plus hero better. God.
Somebody's like, Duncan Robinson only makes three more than him? What a steal.
Bullying needs to come back.
Yeah, no, it really does. We need to... I don't. Yeah, I'm just not gonna.
I don't know what caused this. I don't know if it was Adam Ross that, like, caused this or what. But if you were, man, I just.
If you have a younger sibling that gets on Twitter and says ratio, go shove them in a locker for us at Hawks Talks. We'll be sure to talk to your parents to get you out of any possible repercussions. We can't do the same with the court of law, however. I was going to ask you, though. One thing I saw was, like, it was a Hawks fan. They're like, extending Hunter's a no-brainer. And kind of to myself, like, as much as, like, I want to believe it because, like, I'm a Hunter fan, man. Like, I love Hunter. Like, he does so much. He does all the little things. I mean, we know how reliable he is. But at the same time, like, his injury stuff, like, to you, is extending Hunter a no-brainer? Like, right now. Like, this is going
to
obviously change.
If he had to be extended today, I think you would extend him because his price would not be maybe what it should be. Because Schlenk would have all this leverage. He'd say, look, man, you're coming off a knee injury. You had 30 really or 20 great games, but, like, you know, we can't commit 25 a year to you when we don't know your health situation, so we'll offer you 15, you know, maybe a bridge contract. They're not very common in the NFL or in the NBA. It's really like a sort of NHL football as well type of thing, those bridge deals. But, you know, maybe offer him that, but I would not offer
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If it was today, I think we would extend him for a small amount, but when the actual deadline comes in a year from now, I think it will just entirely depend on if he's healthy this season. If he misses like 15 or fewer games and it's all just like rest, or maybe he rolls an ankle, because like every single player in the NBA rolls an ankle at some point, you know what I mean? Like, it just happens. Then yeah, I think it's time to bring him his bag if he plays as you expect. But if that knee injury keeps lingering, man, you may consider letting it go to the fourth year. Because, again, you still hold his rights. You could still match anything. It's not like you're going to lose Hunter without having a say in it. But if it was me personally, I think it really just depends on his health, specifically with the knee.
This year is kind of, I mean, of course it's going to be make or break. I mean, that's to say it. But not even in terms of performance. Like, I think I'll prefer performance. Like, if we're talking performance alone, I think Hunter's like, today I'm saying, oh yeah, it's a no-brainer to extend him next year. But like, you add in the injury stuff, like that, you the injury history, like the missed games, you know. Wasn't it like reported that he has like arthritis in his knee last year, I'm pretty sure? Like, I don't...
The medical stuff, I mean, look, the Hawks medical staff was very vague, so I'm not going to act like I'm... Frankly, I don't think anybody knows except for the Hawks organization really what's going or really what happened. But yeah, it's scary. There's no reason not to be a little afraid. If he wants the big payday that he will probably deserve based off his like talent, then he's just gonna have to stay healthy. Like, he's just gonna have to keep it together.
I mean, yeah, this, like, he's gonna, like, if, like, what, like you said, 15 or fewer games, you're like, yeah, this is a no-brainer to extend them. But, like, once you get, like, he misses, like, 20 games, and, like, especially if he misses time in the playoffs again, I don't know, like, oh, Lord, I don't know. This is why I'm thankful to be the podcaster and not Schlink, because, like, that's, like, that's gonna be a very tough, that'll probably be, like, the toughest decision for Schlink as far as, like, these past few years have gone. Like, maybe not taking Luka and trading for Trey is harder. But like, when it comes to extending Hunter, like, that one's like legitimate, like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, almost. Because, like, I mean, we've all seen it. Like, Hunter is a phenomenal player. Like, plays, I mean, he does all the little stuff like I was saying. He gets the stats like you want. He plays the best defense on the team. I mean, I wouldn't say he's the defensive leader just because of Capella. But like, for as far as the perimeter goes, like, there's nobody
point of attack wise.
Yeah, I mean, straight up, there's nobody on the perimeter that's as good as like Hunter. Is consistency. Shout out to Cam. Cam has his moments, but consistency is not always there. But I don't like that one's like very, very hard to talk about now. So I guess we're gonna find out in the next year whether Hunter get. I mean, it's also very possible that Hunter gets extended on like the first night of free agency, like traded this year. Like, I could also see that. But I don't know. I guess we're gonna see. That's why the fun is. All right, want to talk to you about something more, just like broad NBA, less Hawk centric. Jaren Jackson Jr. got an extension. He got a bag, man. He did. Good for him. I've always liked JJJ, but I'm gonna say it, very undeserved. Like, a very, very weird to me that I don't want to say it's weird to me, because like, at some point, like, you kind of just have to accept, like, yeah, we're just gonna, like, we have to like pay our guy. Like, but I just want to say it's kind of weird that Jaren Jackson Jr. is gonna be getting paid $105 million over 4 years. And, like, what's he done, like, since his rookie year? Like, obviously, there have been flashes, but other than that, he's been injured and rehabbing. So, I don't know how I feel about that, Logan. I kind of feel like Memphis is kind of too run by, like, Twitter and, like, draft Twitter, especially. If you're in, like, tune with draft Twitter and you see, like, the Memphis Grizzlies roster moves, you're like, yeah. Like, oh,
the
yeah,
roster's
doing
just
it.
Like the draft Twitter nerds. Like,
yeah,
all the
like, they have Zaire Williams. Like, they had Jonte Porter. I mean, they have, what's his face? Xavier Tillman.
Their entire draft class from 2020 is basically like just draft Twitter in a nutshell. So,
$105 million, man. I don't know. That one could end up very bad for Memphis. But also, at some point, like, Memphis kind of screams at a team to me that eventually, like, they're actually going to be the team who needs to be in, like, those Bleacher Report trader articles where, like, they're consolidating, like, pieces of their young core to get, like, superstar players. Because, to me, like, that team is not very good. Like, I don't know if I can say they're not very good after they made the 8 seed in the West. I mean, they did win their playing games. Okay. They're good, but I don't think they're like not close at all to being like
they're like
Mavs level. They're like six, and they're very far from being contenders.
They're like 6 moves away from doing anything in the West, really.
Yeah, basically, and those like those 6 moves are very prominent. Or they're going to come from like big trade deals and big free agency moves, or like they're like young guys that aren't Jaw, because like Jaw's already kind of. I think Jaw's actually close to a ceiling. I don't know if that's a hot take, but I know me and you aren't the biggest Jaw fans, but I don't know how like the consensus is about Jaw. I think Jaw's pretty close to a ceiling.
You know me, man. I'm always down for some Jaw Morant. Maybe not hating, but you know, doubting Jaw Morant. Memeing. I'm always down for that. You know me, so.
He almost dunked it. He almost dunked in that time we were talking
about Jaw almost Morant, man.
But yeah, and I don't know. The Grizzlies are weird, but, I mean, good for Jaren Jackson Jr. Someone I actually wanted the Hawks to draft, the Trae Young draft, so I'm very glad I was wrong about that. Once again, that's why I'm the podcaster and the fan and not the GM, people.
Yep. Truth, man.
And then somebody, but yeah, Reggie Shamet.
Jaren got overpaid. Like, I don't know if there's...
Yeah.
Yeah, just flat out. I mean, you know, it happens. Sometimes you got to overpay your guys, but he's not a better player than John Collins right now, and he got paid more than John Collins. You can argue his potential is higher, but I think people fixate too much on shooting and potential. Like, the only thing that I see Jaren, like, the thing with Jaren is always, oh, his potential as a defender is blah, blah, blah. He could be so good, but he's 3 years in. He hasn't been a good defender yet. It's still all just potential. Like, he can't rebound. He can't do anything on the offense besides shoot. He's, I mean, you know, he could be special. But again, he's going into year 4 now. If he doesn't show it this year, then they're paying $26 a year for, like, basically Porzingis. Right? Like, so it's...
I mean, Porzingis was... But like, even Porzingis has been, like, at least he's been available to play.
Well, I don't know about that. Porzingis has equally as much injury issues, but Porzingis was elite for a year or two, right? That's why he got paid, because he was really good.
He made an all-star team in New York.
Yeah, he was really good, and then he just sort of injuries and all the stuff he brought upon himself. Whereas Jaren Jackson Jr., he's been good. He's had some really good stretches. I think he was really good in the bubble for a little bit before he got hurt in the bubble, because of course he did. But you know, what good does that do? What good does being good for a couple weeks do? You know what I mean? Like, apparently you get 27 mil or 26 mil in the NBA, but I don't know. That was definitely not a great contract, but good for him. You know, I did like him a lot as a prospect, too. I like him. I still like him. He's just, you know, he's going to be one of those guys that, like, he had a potential to be an all-pro, and he's just going to be a pretty good player, which happens. You know, not everyone can be reach your potential in the NBA, right? So...
Not everybody hits their absolute outcome at the end of the day. And also, we probably like mentioned this on our last episode. Michael Porter Jr. got paid the same amount as Trey and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's weird, man.
Yeah, we mentioned this last episode, but that was just bad.
It kind of seems like you see Jaren Jackson Jr. get, what, 26 mil? You get, like, Michael Porter Jr. making the same as Trey Young and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And you're like, at what point do you just have to have, like, a flash every 5 games or so that's, like, very elite? And then, like, the rest of the time you can just spend that rehabbing and, like, being injured and just get, like... I mean, you're guaranteed to get, like, 26 million as long as you're a high draft pick. But that's a reality I don't feel like a lot of Nuggets and Grizzlies fans want to face right now. But,
yep.
I mean...
Draft position is huge, man. It really is. If Kevin Huerter was taken top 10 or even 12th or something, I think he gets a lot closer to the Bridges contract. And if John Collins is taken the lottery, maybe he gets... Nearly, you know, he was pretty close to max, but maybe he gets towards that max, you know what I mean? Who knows? But it's interesting. That's why you got to be glad when guys like Schlenk can just get really good players at 19 overall, you know what I mean? So
yeah, and then like if DeAndre Hunter not drafted if DeAndre Ayton isn't drafted at one, like there's no way he's asked. Like if he's drafted like 10th, for example, there's no way he's asking for a max right now.
Sure.
Like absolutely none. That max is purely because of his like draft slot. Like him being the number one pick, and like I mean, hopefully he ends up getting the max. I'm always going to cheer for players to, you know, get their money, especially from, you know, the Suns. No beef with the Suns. I just really don't like this. Like the Suns fan base is kind of weird, man. I don't know. Like they're one of those teams. Like I'm like, yeah, I'm glad we don't play you more because like I would be very toxic to you. Like you better be glad we only play like twice a year.
They're just I mean, the Suns and four guy was just that was just the stupidest thing I've seen in my life, and they were just like. They made that man their mascot, and it's like this guy is not a mascot. This is just a fat.
He is a very drunk. Bad person.
He's just a bad, like he's just an asshole, man. Like, what do you guys?
He is a drunk with an assault charge, people.
Yeah, but you know, sports fans are rarely they're a special breed. They're their own special breed of people, I guess. But who knows, man.
I mean, hey, good for everyone who got paid. Anyways, Landry Shamet also got extended. A lot of, oh my gosh, one of the absolute dumbest things today. Somebody was like, Kevin Huerter and your Landry Shamet almost got paid the same amount, and y'all are calling the Landry Shamet contract an overpay. I was like, dog, do you watch Landry Shamet? That guy is terrible. Like, do you remember when I was going through the Clippers phase, Logan? Very high on the Shamet train. That guy is like legitimately a bad basketball player.
Lord, do I remember those days, man. Yeah, he's not. Look, if a guy has been on four teams in 4 years, that should give you a hint that maybe he's not the best player.
And like all those teams were like very good teams. Like the Clippers were 3-1 one game. They were literally one like good basketball quarter away three different times from making it to the Western Conference Finals in the bubble. The 76ers in 2018, they made it to the semifinals. The Clippers that year that he got traded to, they made it to like they took the Warriors to six games, and like that was like the super team Warriors. And then it's like, he goes to the Nets. The Nets have KD, Kyrie, James. And then he's on the Suns. Like, at what point are we just like, yeah, good teams are starting to realize this guy's bad and just trading him to the next good team that's like, yeah, we can take him.
He's a one-trick pony, but he's not like, he's not a game-breaking shooter to where he has to
see it. He is a choke artist. The man is a flat-out scrub. He cannot play in the playoffs. I saw it firsthand with the Clippers when the guy shot 26% from three.
Well, there you go.
And yeah. He was actively bad for the Nets, too, so that, I don't know, absolutely ludicrous decisions by the Suns to extend him. I know it must have been jarring to be a Suns fan today and be like, yeah, we're not extending Ayton, our number one pick, cool, and we're giving Landry Shamet $14 million.
and they got, I mean, we haven't talked about the Bridges contract, but Bridges gets 22.5 a year.
Now, I actually thought that the Huerter contract was going to be very close to the Bridges contract.
I'm glad it's not, because...
Especially, I was like, after I saw the Bridges contract, I was like, oh, yeah. The Kevin Huerter contract going to be around here. I saw $60 million, and like, I was like Scrooge McDuck when he dived into the gold coins, you know? I was like, oh my gosh, we're swimming in money. Like, we're not paying Kevin Huerter like $90 million like the Suns are paying Mikal Bridges, but... I guess the Suns are really all in that core. They just forgot to extend the Ayton.
They're all in the core, but they're like, you know what, we could the number one overall pick that we could have used on the game changing lead guard. We'll just we'll wait and see for a year, bud. But yeah, the Bridges contract, I mean, look, the Zach Lowe's of the world, they'll tell you that Bridges is like some amazing player, and he's good. I that contract is probably a little on par for what he would maybe deserve, but like, man, he's not that much better than Kevin Huerter, is he? Like, he has high defensive potential, but he's already, I think, 27 or something like that. His offensive game is kind of like fully baked. Like, he is what he is on offense. So I'm not sure, man. Look, once again, I'm glad that my team is not out there paying $23 million to guys that maybe don't deserve it. We're getting pretty good budget contracts. So definitely a very, really interesting day for the Suns, interesting couple days, because they've paid a lot of money to some questionable wings and did not pay their center, their number one overall pick. So kind of funny.
They're going down the list of players. They're like, DeAndre Ayton, yeah, don't extend him, but Landry Shamet, go ahead and back up the Brinks truck to his house. Yeah, four teams before, we don't care. like under 30% from three in the playoffs, and this is like his main thing of shooting. Don't care. No, we're not extending Ayton. It was also funny. There was a picture of like the Suns owner who like was like notorious, like, yeah, we're not giving you the max, which is funny. But he was like, it was a picture of him on the team playing like after they won the Western Conference Finals, coming home from LA, and he was wearing Ayton's chain. I was like,
oh my god,
oh damn. I was like, geez, man, like, I don't know, that's brutal. Anyways, hopefully Ayton eventually gets his money. I mean, even though, look, as long as I'm not the one rooting for, as long as I'm not the one who's the fan of the team signing Ayton the max check, rooting for you to get your money, big dog. Good luck out there. In the words of Olivia Rodrigo, it's brutal out here, people. But no, that is, I don't know. Dude, that's crazy that they extended Shannon and not Ayton.
I mean, look, they cheaped out. But I did say it earlier, I think he's not worth the max, so.
I don't think he's either. Like, they're
going to end up paying him eventually, so it's just kind of silly to just cause this tension. But it's what
it's like. You're going to end up maxing him, except now you're going to have to max him like when he's with, like, you're either trading him for Cat or you're maxing him whenever you're matching the max for him when, like, the Thunder just, like, absolutely just give you a toxic offer.
Yeah, so.
They better trade for Cat. That's got to happen at this point, right?
The Suns?
Yeah, like, Booker and Cat are best friends, so that's always been kind of out there. So, like, now it's like, oh, they're not extending Ayton, like.
I mean, if that's what they want to do, then go for it. But, I mean, they're not really, they don't have that many assets. They don't have, like, they don't have the package to put together for Cat.
They have Jalen Smith. Poor Suns fan, man. Bro, they better be glad they made the finals last year. They would have got a lot more hate for that pick. That pick was legitimately awful. Yeah. All right, well, this is Hawks talk, not Suns talk. Looking ahead, Thursday, opening game, taking on the Mavs. Advantage Hawks on account of the Hawks are going to have Nate, who they're an experienced coach, and the Mavs are going to have Jason Kidd, who's coaching his first regular season game as a full-time NBA head coach since his time with the Bucks back in the day, so that's kind of interesting. But also, well, apparently, I mean, the Mavs, like, blew out the Wizards for, like, 50 points in the preseason, so.
I checked the box score, and Luka played, I think, 30 minutes, and none of the other team starters played more than 10.
See, now, no, this needs to be said. The Knicks went 4-0 in preseason. I was like, oh, okay, good for the Knicks, man. Like, even though we kind of have, you know, I'm going to say it at this point. I used to like the downplay. We kind of have that rivalry going on with the Knicks. It's more like, I hate to say this, Logan. You know, you're a UGA alumnus. I'm a Georgia Tech sports fan. It's kind of like that. You know, everybody knows who the big homie on the block is. Like, yeah. Let's just be honest. Like, the Hawks are stunning on the block. Like,
and it really is fitting because UGA.
The Knicks are the store runners.
Because the Knicks, what do they say? Oh, but we are history. What do Tech fans say? Oh, we have those three titles from back before World War One. What the hell does that matter? I don't care about Patrick Ewing, Knicks fans. I don't care about Patrick Ewing. I don't care about the fact that you beat Cumberland by 222 or whatever it was for Georgia Tech.
Great moment. Everyone salute the flag of Georgia Tech. We beat Cumberland 220-0. Come on, people. Get up, salute the flag.
Like, I don't care, man.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, when it comes to the Knicks, big homies. They go 4-0 in preseason. I'm like, you know what? Good for the Knicks. Like, they need something. Lord knows they need something. They didn't extend Mitchell Robinson by today. So, like,
they're fans. That game winner, and they were buzzing after it, man.
Yeah, dude, they had fans, like, cheering. Well, no, that's not fair. The fans deserve the cheer. They had, like, players rushing onto the court, like, lifting up there. Like, dog, these are, like, scrimmages. Like, these are, like, open-door scrimmages, literally. I don't know. But anyways, they go 4-0, and, like, I'm checking out the box scores. Bro, they're running RJ Barrett 30 minutes a night. And I'm like, yeah, you know Thibodeau's coaching, dog. Like, he's going to run that team into the ground, man. They're going to run out of gas this year. I kind of want to say they don't make the playoffs, but also don't want to end up on freezing cold takes. So I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. I don't know. Talking about the Knicks really isn't worth it because you say one thing that ends up being wrong, and you just have, like, you start hearing, like, the crunching of leaves by Timberland boots, and it's just over for you. They're coming.
Yep, they are.
They're calling the ox to get the bacon, egg, and cheese. Yeah, they're like a rabid pack of dogs. No, all right, look. Anyways, back to the Hawks. We're playing the Mavs on Thursday. Ask you this, Logan. We usually don't do, like, single game predictions. What's your prediction for this game?
Hawks 122, Mavs 113. Hawks win by about 9.
You think it's a comfortable 9-point win, or is it something where, like, it goes down to the wire?
It's not a blowout. They're within striking distance the whole game, but I think that, you know, the Hawks just, you know, they're just 10 points better. I think that's what happens Thursday. I think Jason Kidd's not good. Luka's very good. I don't like really any other part of that Mavs roster. I guess Tim Hardaway's pretty cool. But besides that, man, I just don't know. I don't know about him.
I will say it's looking like we're going to have our full roster. Sans Okongwu, who's obviously going to be out to like December or January sometime in that point. And possibly Gallo won't play.
Yeah, Gallo might be out. But
Gallo might be out. But on that, all systems are go for the Hawks. I mean, everybody is available. Even the two-way guys are going to be available because the G League season hasn't started yet. So all systems are go for the Hawks. My prediction, I'm going to go Hawks 107. I'm going to go a bit lower on the score than you. And the only reason for that is I think the Hawks can, like, I think both teams end up shooting pretty bad. I don't think, like McMillan said, we don't got our legs to hit our shots yet. I'm going to go Hawks 107, Mavs 94. I think it's one of those things where the game's close. I think it's going to be one of those things where Luka goes to, like, his 30, but then, like, the Mavs had the same issue as us. Like, Luka's going to get his. You kind of just have to live with that. Like, I mean, I don't really care. Luka gets his. The Mavs struggle to hit their shots. We struggle to hit our shots. It's a close game up until like 6-7 minutes left in the fourth. And then the Hawks just show why they're a better team, and they pull away. They start throwing the knockout punches.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that. It'll be interesting. I think we're kind of used to playoff football. Playoff basketball. It's going to be high scoring. This is not the playoffs. I think both teams are going to be well over 100. But we'll see. Who knows? First game of a season, short off season, could get a little weird.
But first game in Atlanta, whole team. I don't know, man.
I'm not predicting a Hawks loss. I'm not doing that. I'll never predict a Hawks loss.
See, when you start predicting your own team losing on your podcast, it's time to retire. Time to go back to the warehouse, man. Come on now. We're not here to do that. You know what? I'm gonna double down. I got the Hawks 175 to the Mavs 60. The Hawks just come out throwing haymakers from the start. They're just
they don't miss a single shot.
You know what, Logan? I think it's time I say it. I really do.
Okay.
I wanted to tweet the full thing, didn't have enough characters. I'm going to say it. To the Eastern Conference and the NBA as a whole, I got to have some bad news for you all right? You're going to get your butt kicked by the Atlanta Hawks this year. We're going to win 67 games. There are going to be a lot of threes and high fives, all right? And then on the bench, there are going to be a lot of guys on the bench standing up with ice on their knees, cheering because Sharice Cooper, who's 5'9", just dunked to put the team up by 40 with 5 minutes left against the Bucks. All right, so we're going to win. That's what's going to happen this year. This is, if you know where that's from, good for you. Glad for you for catching on. But that's what's going to happen this year, people. I got the Hawks 164 to the Mavs 72 this Thursday. Hawks come out, they shoot about 75% from three, shoot about 40 of them. They're just hoisting them. It's just going in. The Mavs are just getting shelled like a city in World War II. It's over. It looks like. But yeah, that's going to be that might predict. I think it's one of those games ends kind of low scoring, kind of. Yeah, like it's one of those things where if the game happens later in the year, it's more high scoring. But anyways, we're both predicting Hawks win, so hopefully that's what happens. Hopefully some more Atlanta teams win. The Braves are up 2-0 in the NLCS. Hopefully on Thursday we're not the only one delivering knockout punches. That would be a crazy day, wouldn't it, man? Sweep the Dodgers. No, it would. Look, if I have to sacrifice a Hawks regular season loss on night one for a Braves postseason advance, I might do it. Oh, but I haven't offered that deal yet.
No shit. And you know the Hawks are going to be good this season. I'm not worried. The Braves, it's okay to, you know, you're allowed to be a little worried if they can close it out. You know, we also have in last season, but
look, last year you're up 3-1. You're asking your wife to go grab you a beer out of the fridge. The game's almost over. You're petting your dog, and then all of a sudden, it's all you lost 4-3. You choked a 3-1 lead. You're the joke of the league for the next 5 years. But this is the year I think the Braves get their revenge. So, good luck to the Braves. We don't have any affiliate Braves podcasts, so I don't know. There's no Chops talks yet that I know of, but
won't be coming.
I'm not sure those are. But... I don't think me and Logan are equipped to talk about baseball. So. No baseball podcast coming. Anyways, that'll do it for episode 72 of the Hawks Talk Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Logan, do you have anything else you want to say?
Just thank you guys for listening. Check us out in the description. All our socials and our Patreon, it'll all be there. So thank you guys.
And Logan's updated Twitter will be there. The link wasn't working, but I got that fixed. So yeah, I did that. You can all thank me for being able to help find Logan's Twitter correctly now. But anyways, that'll do it for episode 72 of Hawks Talks. Thank you for listening. We'll be back probably sometime after Thursday, possibly Thursday night, depending on how the game goes. To recap that game, let's all hope for a Hawks win. Let's all hope for a Braves win. That'll do it for episode 72. Have a great week. Love you. Goodbye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.